Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by software development house BBD. I'm joined now by Tony van der Linden, BBD's executive head of R&D, as well as BBD executive Richard Cantor, for a discussion on the challenges companies are facing in managing their cloud environments effectively, especially as the pace of cloud projects accelerates on the back of the COVID-19 pandemic. Richard, Tony, welcome to you both, and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Duncan.
Hi, Duncan. Thank you.
Pleasure. Now, Tony, let's start with you. We know how easy it is to spin up resources in AWS or Azure. All you need is a company credit card, in effect. But things can quickly get quite complicated and costly if you aren't careful about what you're doing. What are some of the challenges, in your view, that clients are facing in this increasingly cloud-dominated IT environment?
Yes, Duncan, I think you're correct. The cloud is easy until it is not. It's easy, very simple to spin up services in the cloud, which also means that it's easy to incur billing for things that you don't necessarily need or use. Also, often people have the impression that once you spin up your cloud instance, everything just works. And this is not really the case. Mm-hmm. One still has to actively manage and maintain cloud workloads as well as focus on the operational activities a conventional IT department would have done, like security, performance, backups. And when you start thinking about that, then you realize that there are potential of many other items that requires monitoring and maintenance.
Right.
I also think that there are a lot of challenges that clients are facing, and they come in a multitude of different forms, like sweating assets. We've all grown up to believe that we need to get as much as possible out of the hardware that we own, and moving from a CapEx to OpEx model may seem daunting. Also, the sheer number of services available in the cloud, wrapping your mind around what your cloud environment is supposed to look like is not that easy, not to mention supporting this complex environment. And that brings me to the availability of appropriate skills. In most cases, there's a general lack in architecting and maintaining cloud services. We need to remember that this is a fairly young paradigm with native services being developed and deployed while we speak. So if your IT capacity has purely been focusing on keeping the lights on, then it is not surprising that there would be a shortage in appropriate skills to maintain your cloud workloads.
Interesting. Thanks, Tony. Richard, let me bring you in. What are some of the traps that companies are falling into when they consider their options in terms of cloud infrastructure and cloud services?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think Tony's referred to some of those things in answering you. Some of the other issues that we commonly see are organizations thinking that everything is automatically secure if it is in the cloud. And that's not really, it's not the case. Mm-hmm. You still need to be as diligent as you would be with an on-premise environment around your security, having network security and user security needs carefully designed and validated.
Yeah.
We also see some overly complex or poor architectural choices made. So the fact that you can use a particular AWS service, for example, or component, doesn't necessarily mean that you should use it. The cloud makes it very easy, and AWS makes it very easy to access many services and resources. So we quite often see components and services being utilized which really are not a good fit and don't really add value from a cost-benefit perspective. And you can get increasing levels of complexity. I mean, AWS offers over 200 services. So you can really over architect a solution. And we do see that coming up from time to time. We also see a tendency to force things into the cloud. So there's a lot of enthusiasm and excitement about things cloud related. And we often find that applications get moved to the cloud by the development teams and by enthusiastic techies that you know are playing with some newfangled technology, which is quite fun and interesting to play with. So oftentimes it's not really a business-driven decision, or it's not necessarily part of a strategy that the organization has decided. It's kind of landed on their laps because teams have started implementing services on the cloud. And then it can become challenging later down the line to make changes to that sort of approach. We as Tony mentioned, and basically what I've said as well, is that we see people spinning up things on the cloud, and they often just leave them running, and thereby you start potentially incurring ongoing costs.
Before
you know it, you've got a whole bunch of services running which are not really necessary, but were set up and haven't been decommissioned.
Richard, I think companies probably end up spinning up a lot of these services in AWS and other data center environments and using them for a bit, then forgetting they're actually there.
Absolutely. I mean, I've done exactly that. I'm nervous sometimes to check what I've got running in AWS because it's easy and fun to spin the stuff up, and then you have the bad dreams of, oh shucks, what have I got running there, and how much is and my credit cards linked to this thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And you get ball shock at the end of the month because you didn't realize you'd signed up for all those services or you forgot about them. But Tony, let me bring this back to you then. This does raise an interesting question around innovation within organizations, because you do see teams firing up AWS instances to do projects, to experiment, to try and innovate within the organization. If there's a strong control over that by the organization to say, well, you just don't do this, is there a risk that it's going to put a damper on corporate innovation?
So I think in terms of what we provide, we do encourage innovation both at the corporate as well as an individual level. It's very important to be competitive in this challenging marketplace, and we have to foster innovation and differentiation. What we do is to offer some guardrails for organizations to ensure that they don't waste, spend, or fall into some of the traps that we have discussed. Mm-hmm. Also, I believe that innovation is fueled by what we learn by supporting the systems we put in place for our clients to interact with us. So a function that focuses on supporting your client environment are well placed to promote innovation and growth. And we've got experience in several of our clients.
Okay. Right. So guys, we're going to talk specifically about what BBD is bringing to the party here now. BBD has launched a new specialized cloud management service to try to deal with some of these headaches that companies are facing when interfacing with the cloud environments. Richard, take us through how it works and what the benefits of this product are. I believe it's called MServe.
Yes, that's correct, Duncan. So we're now providing management and monitoring of clients' cloud services using our in-house team of specialized and certified cloud engineers. So we do this for a fixed monthly fee, and we offer these services to all sizes of organizations, including small and medium enterprises. The key benefit for our clients is that they have access to really highly skilled and experienced engineers who manage the cloud workloads and provide oversight of a number of things, but, including spend and cost optimization, as we've discussed, to make sure that things aren't being spun up and not being used, providing oversight for user and network security, making sure that there is a proactive approach being followed to monitoring and maintaining the client's cloud environments, so that you fix an issue before it becomes a major problem, before a client's customers start complaining or their end users are making noise about something that's not working. In addition to this, we provide a number of other components from our MServe offering. And as part of that, we provide monthly reports to all of the clients that have signed up for MServe services, even at the sort of entry level service offering. And we provide a service desk for clients to contact us should they experience any cloud outages or any issues, and to make us aware of that. And importantly, we also provide an emergency assistance service. So that's available 24/7. And it's really for, quite serious issues that arise that we need to assist a client with quite urgently.
So local support, which will appeal to a lot of a lot of South African companies having a managed service provided there that they can reach out to at any time to give them assistance when they need it, especially in those emergency situations. But Tony, can you maybe take us through one or two practical examples of where this service would help a company and perhaps even has already helped a company manage its cloud environment?
Yeah, so I think it's important to note that in some instances, some of our clients lack the skills and experience to support cloud workloads, when others, our clients, prefer to focus on the core business and don't have the resources to provide the service. So for instance, one of our clients provide a solution in the medical field that focuses on providing medication or making medication accessible to the masses. Now, they've been very innovative in this space and they've done exceptional work, but their focus has purely been on their business and adding that type of value. So they really needed a partner that could remove the complexities associated to providing their service in the cloud, as this allowed them to continue to focus on their business rather than the infrastructure that supports it. Another similar example is a client with a business critical system that produces and uses large amounts of data. Now, in this case, they were very critical of cost, but required their solution to be highly available during peak times and cost-friendly the rest of the time. So our proactive monitoring and management of their solution gave them the peace of mind that their spend was aligned to their approach and that they were never surprised by a sudden spike in costs. So for both of these, we are actively removing the potential headaches of managing their services in the cloud.
All right. So, Richard, let me come bring you back in again. I believe that you have three tailored packages available through MSurf. Please take us through those and any additional add-ons that might be available.
Yes, that's correct. So we have three service offerings, three packages, which have services bundled within each of them, starting with what we call the essential package and then moving to the enhanced package and finally, the ultimate package, which is for more complex or large-scale cloud workloads. We also provide optional add-ons for each of those packages, so customers can choose to include, you know, additional services that they would like to without necessarily moving up to the next package offering. So just to give you a bit more detail,
sure.
The essential package provides clients with what we believe they should have in place for basic cloud workloads, such as a hosted web application, as an example.
Okay.
So included in the package are items such as user security, alarm configuration, firewall configuration, certificate management, DNS management, operating system updates, quarterly cost optimization, and architecture reviews, and some other items as well. Sorry for the long technical list. When we move to the enhanced package, we provide more active monitoring of many of the items that I mentioned a second ago, mm-hmm. and that includes active monitoring of alarms, of backups, firewall management, monthly cost optimization, as well as some other items. When we go to the ultimate package, which is, you know, really for much more complex implementations and higher volume workloads, we provide basically all of the services that we offer as MSurf in the ultimate package, including such things as recovery testing, weekly cost optimization instead of monthly, and weekly security reviews. So we also build a custom dashboard for each one of our clients, and it allows us to monitor all of their AWS cloud services and also triggers alerts when a pre-configured threshold is exceeded. And we basically providing visibility to our clients on an ongoing basis as to how their cloud infrastructure and everything is working. And, you know, and as I said before, the access to a service desk in the case of emergencies and just for normal kind of run-of-the-mill tickets that get logged.
Now, Tony, which cloud hyperscalers does BBD work with and why?
So we're currently providing managed cloud services for AWS clients, and we'll be adding Azure managed services in the near future. We are currently an AWS Advanced Consulting Partner, which allows us access to a lot more resources than normally. And the reason for the focus is that we also have a lot of skills and experience in architecting and developing software on these platforms. I think based on demand and adoption of other cloud providers like Google and Oracle, we would naturally extend the service to include those when it makes sense.
Great. And before we wrap, Richard, I'll give the last word to you. Maybe give us a bit of some insight maybe into what differentiates BBD from other organizations that provide managed cloud services.
Yeah, so we're a leading bespoke software development company, with over 35 years of experience. We, the longest running software dev company in South Africa, and we pride ourselves on really having the top skills in South Africa, really in the most complex area of IT these days, which is designing, developing, and implementing sorry, highly integrated bespoke software solutions. So, the fact that we've got that caliber of people at BBD and we're offering those people to our clients from a cloud management perspective really is a big advantage. That combined with our extensive experience with cloud capabilities and our maturity in that space. We're obviously an AWS Advanced Partner. And I think finally, we very much keep a personal and people relationship focused in terms of our clients. So the client can always make contact with a BBD executive, and we have a very much an open door policy. So our clients can be assured that, we'll still have that personal touch and, and they won't be treated as just a number that phones into a service desk.
All right. So, Richard, practically, how much money can this solution save companies and how quick is the return on investment?
Yeah, that's a good question. There are a couple of ways of looking at this. If one were to compare the costs of having full-time cloud specialists on payroll or contracted to an organization, you can't really just have one because of key man risk and, people need to go and leave. And you compare it to the MServe offering, it's substantially less than having full-time staff. And, of course, one has access to a full team of skilled certified cloud specialists with the MServe offering. And they've got a lot of experience across a number of cloud implementations and workload types. The second way of looking at it is that we provide guidance and assurance that our clients are realizing the ROI of actually deploying to the cloud versus running their own data centers. So, the typical costs that come with those data centers are rent, power, cooling, maintenance, hardware replacement, and a bunch of other things. So by BBD being responsible and monitoring our clients' environments, we kind of make sure that they do get the best of their investment in the cloud.
So, Richard, anyone who wants to learn more about MServe and your managed cloud service offering, what's the best way to reach out to you through the BBD website?
Yes, I think we've got a fair bit of information available on the BBD website that people can certainly access, or alternatively, they can make contact with us or with me directly. Yeah, I mean, I can be reached on richardk@bbdsoftware.com.
Antonio, if someone wants to reach you, what's the best way for them to get hold of you?
You can also through our website. Yes, access to our website, or you can alternatively can email me on tonyv@bbd.co.za.
And that website address is bbd.co.za, I take it.
bbdsoftware.com.
bbdsoftware.com, okay. Different email addresses to your website. I apologize for that, but there you go, bbdsoftware.com or mail the guys directly. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for sharing your insights with Tech Central today. Richard Cantor is an executive at BBD, and Tony van der Linden is the company's executive head of R&D. Thank you for your time.